Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
doing this podcast on Australia Day, reviewing a musical called Six. So first, a little bit about Australia Day. It's the 26th of January and 1788. In 1770, Captain Cook landed here and took some maps, and 18 years later, they, after losing the American War of Independence, the British decided to, in some sort of ill-advised experiment, to set up a colony in Australia, which is rather amazing. G'day. And they first... Hello.
Hi.
I don't know who, that chap. So they first went to Botany Bay, which is a large sort of basin with no water supply, you know, very poor soil. And then when they arrived there, they realised that was no good, went a short exploration up the coast, and the sort of very next bay is Port Jackson. There. Port Jackson. And I'm doing podcasts all the time.
Oh, right.
All right. you're now on an international audience. Okay. So I might get a bit more. Everyone's a bit more jovial in Australia Day, or certain aspects of it. And so I'm going up to the park to look at it. But I'm going to do decided that I'm going to do podcasts a little bit differently. Previously, my aim of podcasts is to actually get the cognitive flow for as long as possible. So that really didn't worry about the quality of the podcast and the content. It's as if I could actually talk through a point to satisfaction, but also to match the length of walk that I'm doing. So I'd only have to say one topic and a large walk. Now, today I'm going to have a few walks on Australia Day and a few topics. That way I can just sort of talk to a topic and finish it. Now, the topic I'm going to talk to is this musical called Six. And it's about this, it's a sort of a girl band cabaret where the six performers are the six wives of Henry VIII. And it's hard to say, it was extremely endearing. I went to go and see it at the Sydney Opera House, that iconic, you know, building of Australia. If you've got Australia, you've got the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Sydney Opera House. And underneath it, in sort of a atmospheric, smoky-coloured bar, there was probably about 300 people crammed in there. And we're sitting up at bar stools at the back, watching this amazing performance. Now, it's a really well-crafted, logical, intelligent, fact-filled, complex musical. And normally a musical has a plot, but this had a sort of like a history lesson. And it started off with the six wives out there, and it sort of like it's got the energy of a live performance girl band at the front, where they dance and sing, and you know, the stockings, legs, and the buxom, revealing sexualized costumes. So it's sort of like a cross between Tudor and punk. They were singing there, and they had little points that if you weren't initiated, and I wasn't, you'd think this is an Australian invention, because the people had broad Australian accents, and there's nothing funnier than to have a Tudor queen speaking with a slightly ochre. Ochre Australian accent. So that's an amazing thing. I don't know whether I'm going to add a podcast like this, because everyone thinks there's something special. Normally, if I podcast in New South Wales, people just blithely ignore me, but during Australia Day, I think people are going to think it's rather funny. Hear a noise there, everything's parked up, and there's a historical house that I'm walking past with some music blaring from it. Yeah, so generally around Australia Day, it's sort of the permission for if you've got a boat or a house or a sound system, you can turn it up loud. People, whereas the rest of the time, I think people are a bit conservative, a bit sort of easily annoyed by music and things like that. So Australia Day is sort of the time to do it. So we went on the eve of Australia Day to Circular Quay, which was originally called, was square shaped, and they dug it out. And so, initially it was called Semicircular Quay, right? And then they dug it out and made it square, like a normal quay. So, and then they dropped the word circular. And so you got this circular quay, and it's obviously this square. There's nothing circular, nothing circular about it. So we went there. Now, as said, it was, you know, hello Sydney, and the slightly Australian accents. You just really got, you know, such a, it's so warm and so much energy. And of course, it's a bit upsetting to actually see that this was performance, a musical from, I think, 2017, first performed in Edinburgh. Then the sort of zones of intelligence sort of really went up, and I was suckered in when the various queens said, oh, this is a song I wrote and I thought about this, and then it was really another thought. They were just actors, but you just sort of thought that they actually wrote their own songs, and just shows how naive I was. And it was sort of like this, the queen of the time. It wasn't the actor writing, it was the queen of the time writing, and they had the queens processing the information at the end. They had a competition about which was, the audience had to vote for the best queen, and therefore it gave a pretext for them telling their stories and exhibiting their stories in the most vote-garnering manner. Sort of a genius stroke. In terms of, you've got this historical thing, you've got six queens, it's a race, it's got that automatic thing, and it's got that energy of cabaret and all that that aspect. So, this is really interesting coming up. So that's the context for it, in terms of you've got the six queens all vying for audience votes, and then of course that at the end, the last queen, I've forgotten what her name, something rather par. No, there's two Catherines, Anne of Cleves, and Gay. And basically be able to know a bit more about the history. Like I had known a bit of the history, but it was actually a rather good history lesson all up and going. But you've just got to question that England was such a natural superpower. Pretty amazing thing to see in that era, that for some reason England and Europe was just full of wealth and energy. Sorry, just a car backing in. I'm actually getting into Australia Day. Just walked around and they're putting this rotary at the so they have a greeting section for coming into the park at Australia Day, and there's people fundraising who put Australian flag tattoos on all the kids, and Australian flags everywhere. There's some lovely, lovely Volkswagens. I can't describe historical cars here. Of course, these are historical cars, but they're really the cars of my youth. Yeah, I can't describe it. Oh, here's a these are full Australian cars, and there'll be a gnome festival here. So this is, I suppose, there's a bit of activity in Australia, and they've got this huge word Australia at the Opera House, and people will just flock to it to be photographed. Okay, I'm just coming around walking through here. I'll close this off for the moment and get back to you soon. Okay, recording again after walking through the
Australia Day festivities.
Just checking how we're going. Okay, so it was interesting walking around. So the local village green is full of stalls and Australian flags and people plying their ideas, the local soccer club. I found out about the Toastmasters aspect of it. This is where they actually train you to speak, so that might be a godsend to the people listening on the podcasts coming through forward. Now, getting back to it, so there's a little flavour of Australia Day, even though you're not here, and it probably won't be Australia Day by the time you listen to it. And the 26th of January, wherever you are around the world, there's a little bit, if you feel a bit of a knock, a twang, sort of this feeling of stupidity that goes from your toes to the top of your head. That's your feeling, what it's like to feel an Australian. Feel sort of unexplained wealth or sort of unexplained good luck. That's probably being an Australian. Okay, now it's interesting that they're also selling parking to this area. Okay, getting back into it, there's a musical. The musical is called Six, and it's about Henry VIII's six wives, and four, yes, sucker. The wives in Australia are at least singing in a broad Australian accent, and part of its enticement, engagement with the audience. So you've got different planks, that is the use of local vernacular, the use of things that you relate to, sort of like girl bands and music and songs. Okay, music and songs. Did it cross the idea, it's an audience competition also to get through there. So it's definitely, you don't want to go through without getting people's attention. Goes through the different wives, and this is where it sort of makes it. It's got full of facts, like the first wife, 7 years in prison is a new aspect of it, and the various ways in which they actually put things up. They pose a question about Henry VIII, what have I done wrong? Please list it. And then they all look out to a mythical Henry VIII, and the sort of the almost as a spirit. And there's silence, and then they start singing again. There's this sort of interjection between the different wives completing others' sentences with a bit of humour to go across. So I guess going through the wives, you've got divorced, beheaded, died, g'day. Divorced, beheaded, survive. So the first one was a large number of years. Childless, and not childless, I think she had Mary. Lots of miscarriages, religious, Spanish Union. Spanish Union. The next one was a French gold digger who, when the king slept around, she slept around. But it was unequal moral standards. G'day. Moral standards. So she got beheaded. The next one was a The True Love. I've forgotten what her name is. Unfortunately, he got this whole problem of cognitive. What is it? I don't know. Cause it's like having a calculator with a blown memory register. And so she had Edward had a very sort of wholesome hair. The other ones were all spiked, but she was the one with the slightly wholesome hair and wholesome look, and standing by Henry, really loving her, and I think dying in childbirth. I can't quite remember one of those things. Then there's Anne of Cleves, and I did a really good good thing where they had sort of a bit like swipe right, left swipe right by photos, and the real Hamburg punk German burlesque way of doing it, and how she was the ugly one, and how she said, "Oh, look, I'm really upset." Not, and you know, enjoying the palaces and stuff like that. Eventually gets divorced by Jane or in preference for Jane Seymour. So Jane Seymour is this I'm such a pretty queen. Hey, I'm such a pretty queen. But she basically has sounds like a life of a sex kitten. Someone who comes through and eventually comes up and gets beheaded. The last one is got a rather complex song describing how she really loved another person. End of her career, she's in her 30s and had been through several wives, several husbands who all died. So this is a pretty interesting thing that there's a lot of wealth. The one thing that people don't have is long lifespan, so it's got this complexity of people dying due to disease, dying like a sort of disease is like a real mixing process. Now, someone rather par, I can't remember if it Anne Parr, no. So there's the first Catherine and the fifth Catherine. Jane, I'm really confused with the name. However, she reflects and says, perhaps we shouldn't have a competition, and it starts to really ramp up the intellectual rigour, and saying that the musical so far has been trivial, and is focusing on their individual plights, and that we surely shouldn't have a competition at all, and that it's a real construct, and they make it initial. It's really interesting because initially they started and talk about it shouldn't be history, it should be herstory at the start, put that in sufficiently early in the start, so that when she says history, she's makes the point well there, and it's to sort of repeat that. So it's got a high intellectual point that they've been pushed, women have been pushed into a female construct, and they're still bound to a female construct. King Henry is actually only made famous by having six wives, so that's the thing which has come out afterwards. So it was a really sort of good prism reflection, sort of looking at the different aspects of it through. Now that was a bit too high intellectual for the, so if they finished there, you've got your good 2/3 of the audience who haven't followed the sort of the low-level thing and slowly ramping up, and then reflection. So you've got 2/3 of the audience left behind. So they come back and do sort of a closing acts. So it sort of uses the device of stage performances to close off a direction, sort of almost tidy up a meal, sort of like a dessert for a meal, just to finish it off so people are fully satisfied. Okay, that's six. I thought it was fantastic. And on reflection, I still think it's fantastic. It's just that I had enormously positive reflection, partly because I was so stupid to think that it was an Australian, an Australian thing, and that the actual people, the actual actors, wrote their own songs. I was stupid. I actually was naive enough to believe it. So having believed that and having stepped back from it and having to actually analyse it, I'm sort of less in love with it. I'm still very much in love with it, but less in love with it than I thought. And although it's a higher intellectual view of it, i.e. that we've got a male-dominated definition of women, rather than women defining themselves, and that there's a male definition of history, and the fact that there's competitions and the actual structures there, and it's the way that things were actually put through. It's almost like an essay, but nonetheless, I felt even that itself, at the end of the day, was pretty lightweight intellectualism. But I suppose you're going to see a musical. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll get on doing other podcasts.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.